Whiskey River, take my mind.
720 WGN, high atop Chicago in the Skyline Studio, and excited to have on the line two people leading the way in Lynchburg with the beloved and iconic brand and the world's favorite whiskey. It's Jack Daniel's master distiller, Chris Fletcher, and the first ever female assistant distiller for Jack Daniel's, the one and only Lexi Phillips. Guys, welcome to WGN.
Thanks so much.
I mean, as the world gets sort of excited to kind of come out of what has been sort of these, you know, the pandemic times, people are excited to have a good time, and oftentimes Jack Daniel's is a big part of that. Lexi, you know, you've been in Lynchburg for a number of years. You've worked with the brand, distillery, overseeing quality control. Your new role as assistant distiller, talk a little bit about that role, what it is, what's different, the excitement for it, plus being a brand ambassador for Jack Daniel's.
Yeah, this has been a really exciting change, you know, coming into this role at the end of last year. Before that, I was a whiskey maker here at Jack Daniel's for the last 7 years almost. So coming into this role, being a brand ambassador, you know, whiskey taster, and, you know, really doing a lot of innovation things, I will say I think the most exciting is probably the brand ambassador work and innovation, just because having people maybe come here to select a barrel and getting to help them pick that one specific flavor they're looking for. And then on the innovation side, really just, I mean, we're starting with such a great liquid and just kind of being able to have fun with it and see what else we can do. This is an exciting journey.
Now, Chris, the distiller of Jack Daniel's is kind of the biggest celebrity associated with the brands. There's other spirits out there that have, you know, whether it's actors or musicians or rock stars or whatever, that sort of front and are the face of the brand. Jack Daniel's is unique because the distillers are actually the biggest celebrities there, you know, and of course the public knows them, but they can walk that walk on the street cred side when it comes to the spirit. So talk a little bit about that role, even for you, you know, as a guy that has grown up with your family in the business, in and around the business, but also kind of embracing that public role. Has that been something over the last year or so that, is it something that you like? Is it something that you see as an extra opportunity? Or is it kind of just a tough side of being part of Jack Daniel's?
Well, you know, I think the real rock star is Mr. Jack himself. You know, I'd say that first and foremost. You know, Mr. Jack is always the one that's opening the doors and getting backstage, right? And myself and Lexi, you know, we're kind of lucky enough to be able to tag along with Uncle Jack on that one. But you know, I would say, you know, certainly it's fun because so many people love Jack Daniel's and love our brand and love our whiskey. And, you know, and that's the best way to describe it, I think, is that Jack can make friends like no one else. And, you know, being one of the faces of that, we first of all, we have a great whiskey making team here. You know, our master distiller and assistant distiller, you know, we'd be the first to tell you we probably get too much credit, because we have such a great team of whiskey makers. We have our own teams of barrel makers and everything in between here to make our product what it is for the people that love it. And then, you know, you touched on how Jack Daniel's has just become embraced really in Americana and in American pop culture, you know, over the last 50, 60 years. And you think of just the countless musicians and rock stars, from Frank Sinatra to, you know, the old rock and roll guys, and you know country musicians as well. And of course, you know, we have a great relationship with folks like Eric Church now. And you know, all of this is just, you know, people that love our brand, and that are fans of our brand. And it's not a situation where we're knocking on Hollywood's door and trying to pay someone to be a face of our brand, but rather it's an authentic representation of a relationship there between people that love Jack Daniel's whiskey. And I think consumers, and, you know, especially now in today and age, and they know that, and they get that. And when it's authentic, that's when it's the most powerful. So, you know, I'm just so fortunate to be the distiller now.
There's a lot of expressions on the shelf. There's a lot of whiskeys out there, but Jack Daniel's is unique for so many reasons. Of course, the legacy and the history and the backstory and all of that stuff that happens, the flavor, of course, and where it's made and all that. And Lexi, everybody knows that you know your way around whiskey and making whiskey and all of the things that go along with it. It's like, what is one of the most important or maybe things, I guess, you're excited about getting out there as a brand ambassador? Is it telling those stories? Is it interacting with fans of the spirit, as you've been a part of making it for so many years? What are you most looking forward to?
I think so. I mean, honestly, in this role, a really fun part about it is I really just get to geek out and talk about whiskey all day long. So, I mean, that's something I love to do. And, you know, I'm now in a role that people can be drawn to that and do that with me. So I'm very excited to talk to people and really highlight everything that we did in the distillery, you know, showing how we make our whiskey and how much work really goes into it. And, you know, really about the people of Lynchburg, because, I mean, these are all our friends and family that's made this brand just so iconic, honestly.
It's so great. And it is really something to mention for the listeners, too, that we talk about great road trips, and Lynchburg is one of those. But so different than you just imagine this giant factory somewhere, you know, off in some far-off location. This is like a destination, right? And you guys do have it where there's a museum, there's an educational piece to it. And it's very transparent about and just how proud you guys and the community is about what happens, what has happened for so many years, and just making it all. So as the world kind of opens up, and you mentioned, Chris, all that association with people on the entertainment side and prominent people, certainly millions of just whiskey fans around the world. But the barbecue world, I don't know if there's anybody more excited for the world opening up than the barbecue world and to get back to the Jack. And this is a very unique kind of relationship that Jack Daniel's has with the barbecue community, because you guys not only, it's not just like a sponsor relationship like the Super Bowl bar to you by blank. You guys are the host and really the physical embodiment from an event standpoint for what is, you know, the international world championship, the well-recognized top, the crown jewel of the barbecue world in the Jack. And so people miss that in a bunch of different ways. So talk a little bit about the excitement for having the Jack back.
You got it. I think you said it really well right there, but I'll try to expand a bit more. So the Jack Daniel's World Championship Invitational Barbecue is coming back October 9th, 8th and 9th, I should say, that weekend this October. And we couldn't be more excited. Of course, last year did not happen, obviously, as the world was dealing with the pandemic. And we're so excited to be able to safely welcome people back to Lynchburg. It is an outdoor event. And so we are so excited for smoke to be back in the hollow. You know, at a distillery, smoke is not what you want to see down around Lynchburg, except for that one weekend every year when we have basically people from all over the barbecue community, some of the most talented, you know, barbecuers, you know, in the world that come in that have competed, say in Memphis and Houston and Kansas City, these big competitions, you know, across the country. And then the invitation then, depending on how they do at those competitions, to come to Lynchburg to Jack Daniel's. So we're certainly not the largest competition in the barbecue world, but I think a lot of people certainly consider us the most prestigious because it is invitation only, and people are coming in, and these teams are cooking, you know, days at a time and slow smoking the meat and everything and preparing everything from chicken to brisket and pork to dessert and sauce. There's so many different categories and $25,000 of prize money on the line. So it's such a fun weekend in Lynchburg, and we'd love to have everyone come out and experience our barbecue after taking 1 year off.
The bragging rights alone are priceless. To see the prize money really get up there as well, I think is really awesome. I know the teams are excited about that. They would, I don't want to say that because we don't want to put that out in the world, but people would do it for free just for the honor. As soon as these teams, if they have success at the Jack, it goes on their resume forever. And for the listeners that are familiar with Memphis in May, you know, and so and the American Roll, you have to win those just to get a chance to cook at the Jack. And so it is not the biggest because it is so exclusive, but excited to have that. And I'll be down there hopefully with you guys as well, helping to judge some of that. So that's some exciting stuff too. And Lexi, this is just another big perk of being part of that Jack Daniel's family that you've been a part of for so long. So I'm sure you've been to the Jack, been in and around it, but now in this role. So for fans, as they get down there in October and we get a chance to have the Jack live back in Lynchburg, what are they going to see from Lexi? What are you going to be doing?
Well, you'll definitely see me wandering around checking it out because, I mean, this is something that we have done in our family, you know, since I can remember. I think I was maybe two or three whenever they actually started the barbecue, and we went every year. So this has always been a family event where we had friends in town and family in town, and it was just something we always looked forward to. So I know that I will probably be helping Fletcher pass out some awards to the awards ceremony.
Nice.
And really just checking out all the events going on. I'm very much looking forward to it.
It'd be great to have an event that you've been to since you were a kid and now to be one of those headliners at it, one of the stars of those great events. It'll be exciting to see you guys there. So as we let you go, and each one of you can share some, or maybe Chris if you have it, or Lexi if you've got thoughts. You know, the pandemic has provided a lot of people opportunities to kind of sit back, reflect, you know, prioritize, plan for, get an idea to do things maybe they weren't going to do otherwise. And so is there things with the spirit, with the brand, with maybe some new releases or maybe new events coming up towards the end of the year that people can look for, that you're excited about kind of getting a chance to get out there and share that with the world when it comes to Jack Daniel's?
Yeah, absolutely. I'll jump in and I'll let Lexi take us home if that's okay. I think, you know, we are one of the great things that Lexi has already mentioned about the innovation that we both work on, and it's a passion of mine and of hers. And, you know, we are looking at things all the way from grain to barrel of the whiskey making process. And of course, it takes years, as you know, to get whiskey fully aged and out the door and in the bottle. But I can tell you, we are growing local grains here in Lynchburg, and starting from scratch, from the earth, with local farmers, old heirloom Tennessee specific types of corn and things that we're working on. Lexi has a wonderful background in agriculture, and then of course to go with her years of experience in the distillery, turning that grain every day into our whiskey. We've got some great things coming, although we're years away on some of those things. However, I will say, you know, we've kind of teased out some different ideas through our Tennessee Tasters lineup. Those folks that get to come and visit the distillery, whether it's barbecue weekend or are able to just make it down for a tour, you can buy those at our distillery in our gift shop. And then we've also done some things around our single barrel expression, which is really a cool expression of Jack Daniel's, because with single barrel, you get different flavor variations anyway, just from barrel to barrel. And we always have a limited special release single barrel that comes out every fall. And this fall is no different. We're still putting the finishing touches on that, though. We've got a few months to go, so I can't promise exactly how it will turn out. But we are hard at work on that right now. That's one of our biggest priorities this summer, is to make sure we have another dynamite single barrel release to come this fall. So be on the lookout for that.
And Lexi, like, your thoughts on things, or things are going to open up and you're going to share some new Jack Daniel's things with the world?
That's it. Well, as Chris said, you know, we've got some really exciting things coming down the line, and he did cover most of them. But I will say I'm pretty excited about the Tennessee Tasters specifically, because I am actually working on the next one coming up, hopefully later this year. So y'all keep an eye out for that one when hopefully you make it down for the barbecue.
These are exciting times. The entire world, there's sort of, you know, just this anticipation for what will hopefully be a new and fun normal of everybody getting back, family and friends, and of course, great spirits. And I don't know that there's any greater than Jack Daniel's. So thanks so much for everything you guys have been doing through this period that you guys are ready to do, not only to bring the Jack back, and of course great expressions and the Taster series with Jack Daniel's as well. So Chris and Lexi, we'll let you get back to it. We know that you never stop. There's a lot of work, and thanks for jumping on the show today.
Thanks for having us a lot. We'll definitely see you later.
Yeah, thanks so much, Dane. Take care.
720 WGN high atop Chicago in the Skyline studio, and honored to have on the line a guy whose life has been shaped by car culture and who's helped lead the way in iconic media brands like Motor Trend, Car Craft, Hot Rod Magazine, and events like the Power Tour. It's editor-in-chief at Hot Rod, the one and only John McGann. Welcome to WGN.
Thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it.
Oh, it's great to have you on. This is one of the things that kind of shows that we're getting back to things that we love, things that we appreciate, the summer, the cars, the festivals. There's a love affair with the automobile. You know that. And here in the Chicagoland area,
yes,
you know, all the cruise nights taking over towns and some of that stuff is happening. And right at the top of that list is, of course, the Power Tour. Full disclosure, like, my parents have been on at least six of these and logged over 30,000 miles on the Power Tour, and in the name of automotive adventure. Now, the event is huge, and it brings people back. It brings people back to things that they love. Talk a little bit about the importance beyond the normal, right? It's even more important this year.
Well, it is, yes. The Power Tour has been in continuous operation since the first one in 1995, except for last year, which, you know, like so many things, was canceled, or, you know, postponed, as we like to put it. And so Yeah, just like you said, Dane, and I think everybody listening can relate. It's kind of a relief to feel like we're kind of getting back to be able to do the things that we enjoyed to do without some of the fear and worry, sort of getting back to normal. And so, yes, you know, 25 years of Hot Rod Power Tour minus one. So this will be the 26th Power Tour coming up starting in August. And normally it's an event that we held in June, but, you know, not knowing knowing that we wanted to do it, but not knowing exactly when would be the safest time and place to do it, it got pushed back to August this year, but which I think is a good thing. You know, things should be pretty fairly well settled out and all the venues we'll be at. And we're all looking forward to that.
Describe a little bit for the uninitiated, for the people that aren't familiar with it. Think about it. If it's a tour, it's not, and for the listeners, it's not the Chicago Pizza Tour. You don't spend 3 hours going around to a bunch of different places. It's not a pub crawl. This is something that really takes a real commitment, but it really pays a bunch in dividends, bringing people together. Describe what is the Hot Rod Power Tour.
Well, we like to call it the world's largest rolling car show. And I do believe that it's actually been verified that, you know, that wording is accurate. But basically, it's about 5,000 to 6,000 cars on a 7-day road trip. Now, this year is slightly abbreviated. It's only going to be 5 days, but still, you know, a several thousand mile road trip. Typically, the trips are about 1,200 to 1,400 miles. They've been as many as about 2,200 or 2,300 miles in the past. But yes, it's a rolling car show, and we stop at different venues. So there's driving in the morning. We stop at a venue in the afternoon, and then you get up and you repeat the process for the next several days. And the people who do this typically will do the entire tour, and we call those the long haulers. So you start at the beginning and drive all the way through the whole trip. And you get a little plaque at the end that says long hauler. And it's surprising how many people take the time to spend the entire week or the 5 days with us. Yep. And, you know, in the heat and in the humidity and the all the things. But it's also we plan routes that are scenic and sort of historical places. So there's always really interesting things to see. And people tell us all the time that they meet the nicest people on Power Tour, and many of these people become friends. They see each other year after year and keep in touch, you know, on their personal lives. It's really cool.
Let the listeners know we're talking with the editor-in-chief at Hot Rod Magazine, just Hot Rod in general, the brand, the one and only John McGannon. And so here's the thing, is they've been on tours that have been West Coast, East Coast, all, like you said, right. You try to pick different destinations that would be of interest. I think one year they even ended up at Lambeau Field. This year is sort of the Midwest. So even though we reach 38 states in Canada at night, it's the greater Midwest at all times. So a lot of the listening area is really eligible. They just, you know, this is really their backyard. Talk about this year's tour and the places you guys will hit.
Right. Well, it was initially a cross-country road trip, which is hard for lots of people to participate fully in from start to finish. So about 10 or so years ago, it kind of morphed into like a circumnavigation of the Midwest. So, and this year is no different. So we start at Norwalk at Summit Motorsports Park in Norwalk, Ohio, on August 23rd. And then we go to Dayton, Indianapolis, and I believe we'll be at Indianapolis Raceway, which is cool, and Madison, Illinois, and end in Champaign, Illinois. So it's kind of a nice sampling of Ohio and Indiana and Illinois.
Now, how do you decide what it is? For those people that have gone on multiple tours and want a little bit of variety out of it, obviously you're always going to get the camaraderie and the opportunity to get out, kind of enjoy each other, enjoy the cars. But how do you guys decide on the locations? Are there some that are kind of in the vault, like, hey, maybe we'll get there next year or the year after? How do you guys come up with the tour?
Yeah, well, it's funny because we have the Power Tour has become such a big event. With so many participants and also lots of vendors and sponsors along the way. We have a events department within our company that's their job is to plan these things. And so we were talking with a couple of those guys, and it's difficult because you have to find a place that can accommodate anywhere from 5,000 to 6,000 cars, plus any local people who show up to the venue, plus people who just show up to park their car and walk in as spectators. So yes, you need big, big venues like community college or college campuses, motor like drag race or racetrack facilities. So we've been at ZMAX in Charlotte a couple years ago. Places like that. The IX Center in Ohio. I was just looking at old power tours. That was a stop. I grew up in Cleveland, so I'm very well familiar with the IX Center in Burke Park. So places with big parking lots, and it's a bonus, it's a plus, if it's got a drag strip so that there can be some sort of, you know, friendly competition or a large enough space to set up an autocross course. So you can drive to the venue. Then you can also take your car and compete in, you know, whatever events that we can map out and plan out at these different venues.
And you think about this, is not only is it great for the participants themselves and a spectator event for them, right? You know, so they get there and they're going to look at the other 5,999 cars and enjoy them. Right. But also for the town and just enthusiasts that may not have a car in it, you know, when this comes to town, you know you're going to see some great cars. And I want to let the listeners know, too. So a good friend of ours is Rutledge Wood. I'm sure you're probably familiar with him. And so he was talking about he wanted to bring his 911, you know, that green one that he's been working on for the Power Tour. But my parents, like, they went through it and just... Full disclosure for our family, like, we have a 1970 Hemi Cuda that has been in a calendar for Hot Rod Magazine, but instead they chose to go the comfort route. So they took like a 78 New Yorker and did the power tour with that. So you don't have to have a famous person's car or even a really fancy car, right? It just really runs the gamut.
That's exactly right. We have people who drive the power tour in a rental car because they're whatever car they plan
to
bring.
It's probably smart, though, right, John?
Exactly. What is it? It's fine. And, you know, we don't overtly say it, but there's no reason. Anybody, any car is welcome. So if you've got a Honda Civic, bring it on power tour. It's totally cool. It doesn't need to be... Right. It doesn't need to be a fire-breathing Hemi Cuda that runs 10s or because, this is a road trip and you want to ideally make it from start to finish. And then also, like, logistically, you need to think about driving through small towns. You'll get stuck at stop signs or railroad crossings or traffic lights or pulling into the venue where the destination is for the day. There's often long lines of cars waiting to get in. So, you know, you need a good cooling system, and then also, like, air conditioning helps to keep yourself cool. So, yeah, there's absolutely nothing wrong with bringing a comfortable vehicle on a power tour.
In a AAA program, too, because sometimes they break down, right? So the Hot Rod Power Tour is coming up from August 23 to the 27th. We're going to have links up at WGNRadio.com for that. And before we get into the drag week that's coming up a little bit later on in the year in September, let's talk a little bit about you. You know, when this traveling automotive car culture circus rolls into town, there's going to be wide-eyed kids that says, what is this? It's going to make an impact on them that's going to go far beyond that day and maybe shape sort of the vocation for their life. So as a job, again, a little guy who has the subscription to Car and Driver at age 10, like, at what point did you know that this is exactly what you wanted to do? And then what has it been like to not only be in and around the whole car thing as a guy with a passion for it, but leading one of those iconic brands?
Hey, John, hold that thought. We're going to take a break, and we come back, we're going to continue our conversation with Hot Rod Editor-in-Chief John McGann. We're going to hear how it all started for him. Keep it here. It's Dane on 720 WGN. 720 WGN, continuing our conversation with the Editor-in-Chief of Hot Rod Magazine, John McGann. And so, John, before we went to the break, we were talking about how it all started with you. And this is something that you've been in and around and had that passion for cars. You even had a subscription to Car and Driver at 10 years old. So when did you know this was going to be it?
Well, I commend you on doing your homework on me. That's flattering. It's funny. I still can't believe it, honestly. And I've been with the company for 18 years. I started as an intern, so I've been with the company 18 years. I still can't believe it. It's kind of amazing. You know, I was a little kid with the Matchbox cars, 5 years old, running around the house, like driving my little Matchbox cars around the carpet. To be able to turn something that you like into a career is everybody's goal, and not everybody gets to do that, but I am one of the fortunate people who has been able to do that. It was a, you know, it's kind of a long, circuitous journey to get here, and oftentimes that is the case with many people. I couldn't figure out for the life of me what to do with my life while I was in college, because, you know, how many people get to work at car magazines? as a college student coming out of high school into college, you know, that's the pie in the sky, but you know, all right, fine. What do you want to do though? So I struggled with a lot of different things in and out of college for several years. I didn't graduate till I was 30 years old, but when I did, I had finally decided on a photojournalism major from Ohio University, thinking that, you know, I kind of like taking pictures, and if I have to make a living doing something, taking pictures for a newspaper was, you know, it's not the same thing every day. You're out doing things. You're not sitting at a desk. And so that's how I ended up with the photography degree. And then how that turned into an internship at Motor Trend Magazine, just to be brief, was I just contacted the photographer at Motor Trend at the time and just asked how a person gets into the business. You know, these guys get the questions every day. How do I work for you? Right. How can I work for Motor Trend? So I just wanted to figure that might set me apart a little bit. How do I get into the business? Anyway, he asked to see my resume and my portfolio. I sent it to him, and you know that it took off from there. They offered me an internship, and I was in the Motor Trend photography intern for about 4 months in 2003, I believe it was, and then that turned into a different career at the company, which was Primedia at the time. I was managing the photo studio that they had just built. So, one job turned into another, and finally got a staff position at Carcraft magazine, where I was just the staffer guy, like the FNG for 12 years, basically. And then people moved on. And then, the company's gone through some ownership changes and layoffs, and you know what it's like in the media right now.
Sure.
It's not quite as lucrative as it was in the 80s and 90s, but we're hanging in there. And so anyway, I was put in charge of Carcraft and then moved up to Hot Rod. And, you know, in spite of all the changes, in spite of everything, it's a wonderful job. You get to meet really cool people. I love cars. I get to be around people who build cars, build engines, do body work. I get to go to car shows, cover drag racing, cover road racing. It's a lot of fun.
It's a lot of fun. I mean, in some ways, but it's a lot of work. You got to be hardwired to do it. There's no doubt about that. Yeah. And even on the photography side, just to see, and there's so much tradition based around it. And we all remember, at least so many listeners will remember, lots of these magazines all around the garage and the house and all sorts of things. But just on the photography side, to see how that has changed into a completely different animal, right? And how it worked, how it was done, how it moved, right? Still beautiful things to see and share,
right,
but totally different. And then even on the magazine side, and you look at Motor Trend Group and just how the media, you mentioned a little bit about some of those transitions there, but the magazine turning into something totally different, right? To where there's so much more of an online presence and just so many other ways and platforms to share. I mean, so even getting in as the guy with the photography or even the editor, those are totally different jobs now.
Yes. Yeah, very much so. You have to manage a lot of different, like you say, a lot of different outlets. Like, social media didn't exist when I started with the company. When I was in college, we were still using film and scanning film negatives or scanning slide film to make prints. You know, everything's now I can use my phone to take a lot of what I need for sure online, because you don't need as high a resolution picture online as you do in print. The only really thing I use a big, you know, dedicated SLR camera or digital SLR camera for now is motorsports, just because it's the fast shutter speed and the quicker autofocus than the phones are able to do. But yeah, it's amazing the technology changes, plus all the different ways now that we can reach people. So it's not just a print magazine. We have the social media presence. We have a website that we contribute to basically every day. We each have, each of us on staff basically has daily web assignments. So yes, it's a lot of writing. It's a lot of, but still, it's
It doesn't suck, John McGann. It's still
no, it doesn't.
It's still really cool. And although there are some challenges, and everybody's had to pivot in a bunch of different ways, there's a lot of new and exciting avenues to kind of reach fans out there and new generations. And as we get back to some of those things, Hot Rod Drag Week is returning as well. And you mentioned covering that and getting out there, and not only you enjoying it, thousands and thousands of people love to see those events. And so, kind of share what's going on with the schedule and the places where people are going to get in on that.
Right. Well, Drag Week is September 12th through the 17th. And we kind of pick up sort of in the area where we left off. So it starts at Martin, Michigan, goes to Norwalk, Ohio. We race at Indy on the 15th, then it goes to Byron, Illinois, and back to Martin, Michigan on the 17th. So basically in a very similar area to where Power Tour is. So anyone who's in the area who either participates fully in Power Tour or shows up at one of the daily venues, we don't make it overt public, publicize it overtly, but spectators are definitely allowed at these tracks. So you don't need to register for the drag week to show up and watch some really cool drag racing.
So if people want to get in on some of these things, where do they, I'm guessing they go to the website, and then what are some of the costs involved? I mean, obviously it varies. If you're going to rent a car, that's one thing. If you're going to do repairs on your vintage 911 when it breaks down, that's another. But for just signing up and being a part of it, how does it work?
Well, that's where I'm going to need to do a little bit more research, because the events department handles all the price breakdowns. We do have different levels of participation in Power Tour. There's a platinum club or a platinum member or platinum premium level where they basically take care of all your need for a hotel. They book your hotel room for you. You get special access through a dedicated entrance at the venue in the afternoon. So there's a platinum level, there's a gold level, and then there's long hauler. You can register to be a long hauler for the Power Tour. And then you can just show up, and there's a nominal gate fee just to show up at these different venues. If you can only afford to spend a day with us, it's free to join along the drive. You can just And we publish the route ahead of time, so people in the area will know where we'll be. And you can just, you know, sit in your car and wait till you see a bunch of cars showing up on the freeway or, you know, two-lane road, and fall in line and drive as long as you want. Peel off when you need to go.
I'm sure that I'm not the first one to tell you, and I know that you know this, that I think the, you know, what this means goes far beyond just even the specific events and everything. Just this kind of thing coming back, and this is the thing that so many people look forward to, and it isn't just the cars. It's getting out and sharing the cars, and like we've talked about, bringing people back, but also bringing them together, right? And then under the banner of Hot Rod. And so I'm sure that's got to be gratifying. It's really cool to be sort of the standard bearer for really one of those iconic events that has meant so much to so many people. So as we let you go, you know, is it hotrod.com? Give the website out, or if there's a specific separate page for people to get more information and figure out what fits with them for the Power Tour and Drag Week.
Yeah, hotrod.com/events. And then you can find all our events. We have Roadkill Nights, which will be in Michigan. We've got information about Power Tour and Drag Week all there, hotrod.com/events.
John McGann, editor-in-chief for Hot Rod Magazine, helping to bring, again, the car culture, the motorsports world back and doing it in a big way. And so thanks for everything that you guys are doing over there, and thanks for jumping on the show today.
Oh, absolutely. This has been a thrill. Thank you so much.